Good morning, everyone. This is you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. And we have a great show for you today. Today is Saturday, April 6th. Wow, time flies.
Can you imagine?
It's crazy.
April's here.
Spring, and you've noticed the flowers, and
yes,
and it's warming up, and it's getting lighter a little sooner, which I hate getting up at 5:30 and waiting till 7 for the sun come out. I don't know about you.
You know, I really like the non-daylight savings time.
The non-daylight savings time.
I do. I know everybody loves that it stays late or stays light later, but I feel like...
Oh, you don't like that?
No. No, I want to stop. I want a stopping point a lot earlier than 9 o'clock, because we go, and the next thing you know, it's 9:30 and you haven't had dinner yet.
Yeah, that's right. It happens around June, right?
Yeah.
It's 9:30 p.m. and that's 9:30 p.m. and the sun is out.
Yeah.
Can you? How do people do it in Alaska?
I can't even imagine. I think 6:30 would be great. I mean, if we can make it 1 hour this direction or 1 hour that direction, let's just pick the time and make it whatever we want.
Right. So welcome to today's show. We're very excited to have you back. We're just really enjoying Claudina and I are really enjoying doing this show. It's just realized that we have a lot to say about a lot of topics, and that's what we hear. And people are like, how do you guys know so much? Well, we've just been doing it for a long time. And really our concern is that you as a business owner have somewhere to turn to hear unbiased stuff, because we're not here to sell you anything. But although we want you to find somebody to work with, find somebody to love, right?
Right.
And if you don't have it, we'll be happy to help you. So my name is Leo Landeverden. I'm the founder and CEO of Greenland Advisors. We're a fractionalized accounting. It's an interesting concept. So we provide accounting solutions to businesses and the CFO advisory, which is... rather than hiring somebody full-time to be on your team, you can actually take advantage of an accountant, bookkeeper, which we're going to be talking about today, and or a CFO or a controller at a fraction of the price that you would otherwise hire somebody. And that's a really unique concept.
Incredibly unique and incredibly valuable for those folks out there who maybe have a small or a medium-sized business or even a micro business. Having somebody that you can call and just touch base with and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. I'm thinking about hiring, or I'm thinking about growing, or I'm thinking about spending money on advertising, which we talked about week before last. Mm-hmm. You know, just being able to sit down with somebody. And it's until I worked in the corporate nonprofit world, I didn't realize that the corporations have a CFO. They have an HR person. They have the CEO. They usually have a COO, mm-hmm. operations managers. That's their logistics. And all of those people oversee entire departments.
Full-time controller?
Yes. And they oversee those entire departments. And then they function to coordinate those departments to achieve the goals.
Yes.
And what small business has that? You run to your tax person. You run to your attorney. You run to your insurance person. All the time, they're giving you information that, one, you may or may not completely understand, and two, right. it may not be coordinated. And so somebody's telling you to do one thing, and then the next person's telling you to do something different. And unless you are really super savvy, have a whole lot of luck on your side, and, you know, make those decisions without, you know, being scathed, that's why small businesses go under.
And you said it. I mean, you said it. And so today's show, we're going to be talking about demystifying this whole thing about bookkeeping versus accounting.
Right.
You know, a lot of people confuse it too. A lot of business owners, I'm not sure what the difference is between bookkeeping and accounting. So you have some personal experience with bookkeeping versus accounting, and you can attest to that. So mm-hmm. today's show, we're going to be going over the top 10 misconceptions or things that you should know about bookkeeping, and the top do's and the don'ts. And I think we're gonna have a great time with it. Are we ready for this,
Claudine? Absolutely.
So, all right. So, bookkeeper versus accountant. What comes to mind, Claudine, for you?
Okay, so I cheated a little. I cheated a little. Okay. I did a little looking
into this.
It's
all right,
because initially, and I thought about bookkeeping versus accounting. Okay, but gee, I don't know, flip a coin.
Gee whiz.
Gee, so I'm sure that I'm in good likes with a lot of people who may be listening now. And the bookkeeping side of it, It really, and this is really what changed in my business when you and I connected.
Yep.
Bookkeeping is incredibly valuable. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. You absolutely have to have that tracking of everything you've done, everything you've spent. But that tracking, then it can just stay as historical data, or it can be used to make decisions. I think that's where you switch over from bookkeeping to accountant. The accountant's going to use that information to look forward.
Wow.
There, did I do it?
I'm crying. You're speaking my love language.
I know.
And you nailed it, and that's it. And I think a lot of people want accounting out of a bookkeeper, and they are frustrated when they don't get what they think they were going to get. And I think bookkeeping or bookkeepers out there do a great service. And if you work with a bookkeeper, what you should expect is a reconciliation of your accounts, of your bank account. If you have a bank account, if you have more than one bank account, you should have a fully reconciliation of them. And what does reconciliation mean? Well, your account, your financial statements are nothing more than a collection of your source documents, which is, you know, your bank statements, your credit card statements, your loan, and anything that actually you get a statement on thrown in together to make sense of it into a set of financial statements. That's all there is. And now you can use a fancy accounting software. You can use, there are many, you know, I'm not married to one. I've worked with a lot of them, but the most common or the most popular here in the US, it's QuickBooks.
Of course.
Right? So there is QuickBooks, and there is QuickBooks Desktop, there's Enterprise, there is and there's different in between, and there is QuickBooks Online, which is really the world, the entire world is moving to a SaaS model, which is software as a service. And then there is the other big company out of Europe called Xero. Mm-hmm. And there's a host of other online accounting softwares. What you use, it doesn't matter, but you have to have an accounting software. So what a bookkeeper does, they take that, they use the technology to reconcile your bank accounts. Now, it feels like when I speak on the subject, I usually poll the audience and I tell them, hey, when was the last time you reconciled your personal checking account? And they go like, what do you mean?
We don't do bank balance spending.
What?
So really?
Right. So what people do in their homes, right? Well, if you really think about it, it takes time to, so when you get your bank statement, whether you get it through as a PDF or you get it at home, you know, some people still get their bank statements mailed to their home. So you open it and your checkbook should match the ending balance of your bank statement for that day. That's what it means. So if the bank statement says that you should have $5,000 in the bank, in your checkbook, it should have the same. How often does that happen?
Never.
Now, then I asked the audience, raise your hand if you enjoy that process.
Of finding the difference?
No, or actually reconciling it.
Okay, so this is bringing up high school and college nightmare memories of the algebra problem that was wrong, and you had to go back and find out
Why
you went wrong. And there are many, many, many of us who never wanted to do that, didn't care why it was wrong. And honestly, truly, it was just torture having to go back and go through each and every step again. And I see that as the bank account reconciliation.
Right.
Where is that $15?
So I ask, who would rather have a root canal or balance your checkbook?
Right.
Some people would say, give me a root canal because I don't want to balance my checkbook.
Right.
It's the most horrifying thing if you're not used to do it. But there's some people that love doing it. Bookkeepers love doing that. So that is the most fundamental. But that doesn't just apply to your bank accounts. It applies to your credit card accounts. It applies to your charge. If you have a charge card that you use for your business, but you use only for gas, it must reconcile to the statement. And then you have a loan. So you have a business loan. Then you have a line of credit. There are businesses that we work with that have 15 to 20 accounts that need to be reconciled every month. Get your head around that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what a bookkeeper does, and we'll come back. So you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We'll be right back. what's up, everybody? Welcome back. Listen to Business and Legal Talk with Leah Claudine. I have my gracious co-host, Claudine Charron from Charron Law. .com here with us, and we were having some fun at the break.
Yeah.
And I will just leave it like that.
Got a little sidetracked.
So what do we do? So we talked about bookkeeping versus accounting, but there's a lot more that goes into that we're going to get in length. But if you just join the show right now, you want to know who we are and what we do. And so I get it. So I'll let you go first, Claudine.
Absolutely. We are the Charron Law Firm, and we are a business and real estate firm. We're located in Turlock, currently looking for space in Modesto. We are growing and excited about that opportunity. We are here to help clients survive the business climate in California and stay up and going and developing and growing. We are also here to help you resolve any real estate issues that may come up. We deal with everything from evictions to complex title issues. And you can find us on the web at www.charron-law.com, and that's charron-law.com.
Hey, by the way, I got an email from somebody.
Who?
Right? Somebody just went through the info on my website because they heard the show. I got to give you some details of that. It was very exciting. So on our side, we help businesses scale profitably. Go if you're the kind of business that wants to go have rate about $500,000 to $1 million and quite haven't figured out how to actually go from 1 to 10 million, and you have the dream to do so, we can help you with that.
Yes.
Because the point is, we can help you scale right out of the profits of the business.
Right.
And there's a way to do it. So if you're looking for help growing and scaling your business, you need to go to www.greenland, as in GreenlandHQ for headquarters.com. And you can call our office, 559-207-3148. We serve the entire Central Valley. We're from Sacramento to LA and everything in between. So today we're talking about bookkeeping and the do's and don'ts in bookkeeping versus accounting. So we talked about the bookkeeper is the one that reconciles your books, and the accountant is the one that actually thinks about what your books mean to you. That translates that, Claudine, from what you see a fully reconciled, which really don't mean anything, right? It's a it's a feature of just having your stuff reconciled, so when you submit it to the IRS, they'll match, right? But what does it mean to you on a day-to-day basis?
Means that I'm really glad that we have a bookkeeping service through you, and Greenland takes care of all of our stuff, and we can do our business. We focus on what we do, and you focus on what you do, and you do it good.
Thank you. But this is with the accounting, this is where it goes to the next level.
Right.
As accountants, not only do we think about fully reconciling, so we call it in our world, making sure that our numbers are real, that is called the asset test. Your most important financial statement within your three financial statements of the profit and loss, the balance sheet, and the statement of cash flows is your balance sheet.
Right.
Your balance sheet is at the center of your net worth. So you look at your assets equals liability plus equity. So if you have all assets and no liabilities, which means that your assets equal your net worth.
Right, right. Which is what you can lose.
You can quickly lose if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
So running a business is understanding the relationship between your assets and your liabilities, which is so where it ends is where we begin. We understand is, okay, great. You know, you have some assets and you have some liabilities. Are the ratios properly adjusted?
Right.
If you want to get a loan from a bank, no bank is going to give you a loan unless your current ratio, which means your current assets versus your current liabilities, is at least 1.5 to 1.
Right.
What does that mean? That you have at least 1.5 times assets than you do liabilities.
Right.
Now, if you're shopping for a loan, you're going to need another thing too, is your debt service coverage ratio, which is the ratio between your net income and the debt service. There has to be at least 20% more.
And talk about debt service.
And debt service, right. So, when you make a payment on a loan,
right,
not the whole thing actually hits your profit and loss, only the interest portion, right? But the debt service coverage ratio looks at, your net income divided by your debt service, and that it has to be at least 20%. And people forget that the bank is going to want you to be profitable so they can get repaid. And here's another thing that they look at. It's your debt to equity. Now, what a bank wants to see is at least to have your debt not to exceed 2.5 times your net worth. Now that's, if you really think about it, so you can have $2.50 of debt out there for every dollar of equity. Would that make you feel comfortable?
No, it seems like a lot.
It is a lot. Now I think that the banks do that just because they spread, if they do their analysis and they're right, mm-hmm. they can live with it if you're very, very profitable. But if you start going north of 3 to 1, then at some point you're gonna have more liabilities than you do assets. The minute you hit 1 to 1, you're on your way out. So let me say that again. The minute that your current assets equals your current liabilities, you should start prepping for the running for the hills.
That's when you know it's going down.
That's when you know it's going down.
Because one slip up.
But how do you know that? How will you know?
Well, you have your books done.
You have your books done. And you have somebody whispering and telling you every month, hey, these are your numbers. You know, this is your, you start with a profit and loss. You start, okay, you know, what are your sales? And do you give discounts to your clients? So that's, it takes away from the sales and becomes the net sales. Now in your business, you don't give a lot of discounts, but some people do get a little bit of a discount. So that is, goes your billing minus any discounts is going to give you your net sales. And do you have cost of goods, which is the cost associated with producing the in your business? A little bit, you know, some core filings. Mm-hmm. But the good thing about having a business that is a professional service business like yours, and anybody who is white collar, you know, a chiropractor or a medical doctor or anybody that provides a professional services, they'll have a very healthy gross profit margin, which is the difference between your sales and your cost of goods. And then you have your operating expense. Now, hopefully I haven't lost you.
No. I think it's so important that the understanding the difference between bookkeeping and accounting is so critical, because many people have their books done and you just go through month after month and the book, or they send you by email a copy of your quarterly report.
They probably just
report.
Email it to you.
Yeah. And when you don't know what you don't know what questions to ask.
Correct.
So you have no idea what those ratios are until you become an accountant yourself. And
right.
most of us are out doing our own businesses and are not really trying to become accountants. And so it's so important to work with, number one, I think it's so important to understand what you need. And you need to be able to know what questions to ask. And if you don't know what questions to ask, you need to work with somebody who will tell you this proactively.
So if you're out there, if you're driving around today, if you just joined the show, you're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine, we're talking about bookkeeping versus accounting. There's this huge misconception that a bookkeeper knows it all. And a lot of them are been doing it for 25 years. They know a lot, but they don't know everything. They're not charged with helping you run your business.
Right.
An accountant, and particularly what we do at Greenland, is we actually drive alongside with you,
proactively.
Giving you proactively, hey, look, you know, it's you know, I always talk about it, you know, and just about every show I talk about this analogy of driving, right? When you're driving, can you imagine driving without a dashboard?
Right.
You don't know how fast you're going. You don't know whether the check engine light is on.
Right.
Can you imagine not knowing if you're like 10 miles away from running out of gas?
Right.
Or there's an electric failure about to happen and then there is nothing to tell you that. Or you cannot overcorrect and there is a police officer, you know, coming down the highway. You don't know how fast you're going. So if you get pulled over, you couldn't speak to that. What people do, so the accountant builds the information that goes on the dashboard for the business owner. Does that, now you understand?
Absolutely. And it's a little similar in our business in that you don't know what you don't know and you think you're doing it right. You think we're going along doing the right thing. And if you are really committed to growing your business, if you're really, really seriously committed to achieving the goals that you've set, you need to get with some advisors who can help you navigate.
And that's what we love to do. So we love to just sit down with the business owner and really give him intelligence. And we start with this whole thing about a baseline analysis. You know, from the island of where you are to the promised land where you want to be. And there's a chasm in the middle, right? Here you are in this little impoverished island and you want to go to this beautiful island where the grass is greener and it looks beautiful and volcanoes and waterfalls and there's hammocks and there is unlimited everything. But there's this huge body of water that you need to swim through. Well, we help you. We are the boat that can get you there mm-hmm. with the information that we provide, and it's actionable and it's real time. What accountant provides versus a bookkeeping is real time versus historical.
Right.
So that was number one. I thought we were going to cover 10, so we better get going, right?
Right.
So number two is you got to know that we help you understand the rules that affect your business from a tax and the whole, well, there's two things that are for certain, right? Death and taxes.
Right.
Well, we help with the tax part of it.
Good.
So, you know, we're not going to help you with the other thing. So, but there are, if you're self-employed, and then the minute that you hire your first employee, you got responsibility with the state, right? And there are payroll taxes that get associated with that. And honestly, we know enough, Claudine, in our business to do payroll, but we choose not to.
Right.
Because it's an overwhelming responsibility if you miss out on the quarterlies.
Right.
You know that the penalty for the business owner on a late quarterly filing is?
No, I have no idea.
It's almost 100% of what is due.
Of what's due. That sounds like waiting time penalties.
It's done on purpose.
It's a punishment.
It's a punishment.
Right. And we have the same
punitive
thing. So imagine that if you're making that mistake with your payroll, chances are you have made some sort of a mistake with calculating the pay.
And then you get into the wage and hour.
Yes. And we have the same thing
overtime.
On our side. It's what is owed to the employee times 30. Up to 30 days for every day that you haven't paid them correctly.
But then it's this domino. You call it the stacking, right?
Right.
Of penalties on top of. But it all starts with the minute you hire your first person, you have the responsibility. And I wouldn't go at it alone. But we help you as an accounting firm discern that. And also there are other. Not speaking of taxes, there are more taxes. So if you sell anything within the state or within the jurisdiction, if you withhold sales tax, you got to pass. Sales tax is a pass-through tax.
Right.
It doesn't belong to you.
Right.
You know what a lot of business owners do? They use it as float money. So they collect this. Restaurants are notorious for that.
Really?
Yes.
That's so dangerous.
Very dangerous business. So can you imagine a restaurant with $1 million worth of money cycling through in sales, right? And you use the POS software. Can you imagine how much sales tax you're passing through your system at what? Average anywhere from 7.75 to 8.25
right.
of sales. That is the swing of money that you actually owe, then you have to pay. And you know what? But the government knows that. And you don't get the privilege of filing quarterly until you earn that privilege. But most often, you're going to have to be paying monthly or prepay it.
Oh, prepay it.
Who's going to do that? Do you have the time to do that?
No.
Who has the time to do that? But if you're a business owner, you got to worry about that. Then you have to do the estimated tax payments. And the government agents are quickly to levy your bank accounts. So that's number two. So number one, we talked about you got to know your options, whether you need a bookkeeper or an accountant, and you most likely are going to need an accountant if you want to build a business that is going to scale. And if you have a business that requires capital, you absolutely going to need an accountant from day one because your angel investors, your funding sources, your VCs are going to want pro forma work,
yes.
and they're going to want it. Looking forward, no bookkeeper is going to be able to do that. So
let's talk about pro formas for a minute.
Yes.
Because those are really, a lot of people are not familiar with them, but those are your projections.
Projections.
And they are, to some extent, theoretical, but they should be based on
real facts
real
numbers.
But if you're a new business, and I've dealt with clients who, you know, in highly regulated industries where they have to provide pro formas because they are paying the city or the county or the state based on sales, similar to.
Right, that's true.
So before you are able to get licensing, they want to have an idea of what your 3-year pro formas look like.
All right.
And so you can't just randomly make up numbers.
Awesome. Well, stay tuned. We'll come in. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to Business and Legal Talk with Leah and Claudine. All right, don't you love it?
Man, we are talking about helping you succeed in business. And who doesn't want to succeed, Claudine?
I think everybody who starts a business has great, great, like a pioneering attitude, and they have great dreams and these ideas. And then you get in there in about the third year.
And you're like,
what happened? Oh, for heaven's sakes, I haven't
had a hangover.
Right? But there is help out there. Understand that, and I think that that's probably the hardest thing for small and medium-sized businesses to, one, know where to go, two, have the confidence to choose that advisor. And if you've chosen the wrong one, it's okay. Keep working at it. Because oftentimes you don't know until after you've made the choice.
Right. So I'm just looking at the picture that you sent me. I really look scared.
And actually, that was a picture of you looking
at what
I was looking like.
Yeah, right. So before the break, you were talking about pro forma work.
Yes.
And that some industries now want it. They want to you give them forward-looking statements.
Right.
So let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think answer a question for me. How different is the pro forma versus a budget? Because I always look at them as somewhat of a budget, but then I go, it's theoretical. You know, we don't have to necessarily adhere to it, but it does set a goal. It does give you an idea of what you're going to be looking at next year, maybe the following year, so forth.
So I'll tell you what the best way for me to explain it. A budget, it's a rolling 12 months. It's really the next calendar or fiscal year.
Mm-hmm.
A pro forma deep dive is multi-year. So think of it as the ripple effect of your business on year one. So because you're closer to the action. So if I'm looking at your 2019, which you and I put together a budget, right?
Right.
For 2019 on the premise of the numbers from 2018. So because it's so closely watched and because we're watching it, I'll be very surprised if you wildly shot underperform or overperform against your budget, because there is a lot of thought that goes into that. So for all practical purposes, for the first 12 months of the year, the budget will be your pro forma.
Okay.
Beyond year two and three, and anything be over two is definitely forward looking. It's beyond a budget. Does that help? A year or less, budget. Right. A year or more, pro forma work.
Okay.
So it's important, though, that although it could be a pie in the sky, and anybody who is going to be investing, you know, there are employees now that are very educated, you know, particularly if they're in technology or some industries, they're going to want to know. So tell me about where your company is going. When you're looking to hire an employee, it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get to know them, but they also want to, you want to be able to paint a picture of the future. So if you say, you know, we grew 20% from last year, and we expect to grow 100% this year, and we expect to be a $10 million company within the next 5 years, and we expect, you know, 400% growth, very profitable, and want to make the strategic investments. If you're an employee looking to be part of a great company,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be paying attention to that.
Absolutely. And how many people, you know, in the tech industry? I mean, I know people that you know, being from Silicon Valley, I know people who started off at some of these tech companies as receptionists and, you know, clerical staff, and were getting very low wages, but got stocks in exchange and ended up being worth a lot of money.
You know what? I was on the way here today. I was listening to a podcast, you know, because I love real estate, and you know, we both love real estate.
Right.
This guy who was a software engineer at the boom, you know, actually in San Francisco, who was part of a pre-IPO company. Actually, the company didn't go IPO. They basically got bought out by a larger competitor funded by VC money. He had stock options. So, and the company was doing so well, and he had bought into the dream that he made so much money from it that he could have started. He wanted to be the CEO of a software company. What he did instead, he actually got involved in commercial real estate. He went from zero to 150 units in 3 years. That's a whole nother podcast for another day.
Right.
But if you are a discerning employee, you will care about the future of where your boss is going.
Right.
So pro forma work is very important for a lot of reasons. You want to, you know, beyond the proof of concept, do you want to work for a company that is flat year over year and hasn't grown?
Well, no. And I think so many employees are afraid to even ask. It's so far outside of the normal boundaries.
It's taboo.
Yeah, it's very taboo.
There's nothing illegal about wanting to know where. Yeah,
absolutely not. And there's actually great theory in owners sharing that with their employees, because this is we're all growing together attitude. We are going to grow.
Of a team.
Yep. This idea too big to crash is nonsense, number one. But our strength is our employees. Our strength is our devotion to our budgets and our numbers and our accurate forecasting. And so there's a whole business side on top of doing the business that you do.
So if you just tune into the show, we're talking about accounting versus bookkeeping. And none of the stuff that we're talking about in the last 10 minutes have anything to do with bookkeeping. Pro forma work and basically help you navigate the business. You're not going to get that out of a bookkeeping engagement. It's, I'm a CFO and I provide that kind of work and evaluating growth with the end in mind. Everything that you do as a business owner has to be with the end in mind. Why are you doing this? Now, if you want to grow, it behooves you to know where your business is going, because you're also going to be able to anticipate the capital needs.
Well, and whenever you set a goal, and I mean, you've heard it from every motivation speaker ever has said, write your goals down. Once you put them down on paper, something, happens, and you start to really kind of in a very subconscious way, start moving towards those goals. And the next thing you know, 3 years later, wow, how did I get here? Oh, that's because 3 years ago, I actually wrote down the goal and it's kept in my mind and I've kept thinking about it and I'm moving forward. And it's what I do. It weaves into the part of the fabric of your everyday existence. It's what you talk about. It's the decisions that you make. And I think budgeting, so many people think of budgeting like dieting. Like it's a restriction.
Right.
I have to deny myself. I can't just go buy that stuff because it's not in my budget. Or, expensive thing that I wanted to get, or maybe I really want a $300 new office chair because I'm sitting in this old office chair hour after hour, but it's not in the budget. So we look at it as a restriction as opposed to
being freeing.
Freeing.
Right.
And it is absolutely liberating to have a budget and recognize that if I meet all of those goals that I put down in that budget and I look at it as a goal, not a restriction, then next year my budget's going to change.
Well, I look at it in terms of goals. I ask business owners, what do you want?
Right.
Why are you doing this? Because if you don't have a goal, any goal will do.
Right.
And you were saying something a few weeks ago that really resonated with me, is that you bring it into life. Whenever you think about a goal, and I don't want to get hokey and this is not a kind of talk show, but there is power in visualizing where your business is going to go. Budgeting and forecasting, which is kind of go together, budgeting and forecasting, which is anything into the future beyond today, you have to be a good captain of your ship, you have to know where you're going. If you just get on a car and you start driving, you don't know where you're going. What's the point of driving?
Right.
Right? So if you're a business owner, you have to have a budget. So I know we're supposed to be covering 10 items. So number one is know your options. And, either you hire a bookkeeper or hire an accountant. By now, I'm hoping that you know the difference. Number two is you need to know the rules and regulations. You need to know when to pay tax and to whom. Right? There is a state. There is the county. There is the city. There's a federal government. There's the payroll tax. There's all kinds of, you're probably going to pay half a dozen taxes if you're in business. You need to know when to pay them, and you need to have somebody responsible for that, whether it's in-house or or outsourced. Number three, we talked about creating a budget and sticking to it. Number four, we talked about it already, is reconcile everything. Reconciling is the process of matching external records with your books, which what I talk about is source documents. And
Are those receipts? The little receipts that we're supposed to keep?
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, you should keep your receipts, even if it is throwing them in a box. Now, if you're listening to the show right now, and if you get anything out of it, anything that you do that you use your business debit, any card, debit card, credit card, anything that you use where money is pulled out of your business account, keep that receipt.
So doesn't your bank statement act as a receipt though? Because it shows that you spent it at maybe Staples.
True. You can actually, I've been part of audits.
Right.
Which an IRS agent, it really depends. It goes from agent. The agent is trained to ask for the source documents. So some of them are just too obvious, right? If you're looking at it and if it's the same mobile 76 station, right? And you're using your car as, you're actually using the actual expenses of your car for your business and it's the same every week around 4 o'clock, you're going to have a $65 charge against your debit card.
Right.
And it's the same every week for 52 weeks.
Right.
Chances are it's going to be a business. And it's your car and it's your truck. You can argue that.
Right.
But there are some expenses that are not going to be so easy to justify.
Okay.
Now, this whole thing about, I talked about before that I can never stress enough is commingling.
No, I cannot.
Do not commingle.
Both of us. We'll say it.
Do not commingle.
We will say it together in stereo. Do not commingle.
Do not say it again. Do not commingle. And commingling is when you're using your business as your own piggy bank account.
Particularly if you are an LLC or a corporation, whether an S-Corp or C-Corp, the type of corporation, it doesn't matter. But please don't do it if you're a corporation, because the reason why we as attorneys put you in a corporation is to give you a legal protection from lawsuits and protect your personal assets.
Well, you could pierce your corporate veil, for one thing, right?
It's called piercing the corporate veil. That's exactly what
what it's called.
And any plaintiff attorney is going to attempt it. They're going to attempt it every single time. So you don't be surprised that somebody attempts it. But the question is are we going to have enough ammunition to fight back?
Now, and here's the thing. You will make mistakes. And there'll be the occasional time that you thought you had in your purse or in your wallet, the business, and you had the personal or vice versa. And you happen to go, an occasional mistake will happen. But what the IRS is looking for is pattern of conduct.
That's correct.
So if a pattern emerges, you're going to pay the price for it, because what happens is all those expenses that you run through the business will be excluded, and the difference is going to be more net income, more tax, then we put you into a different bracket. Now, what we do as accountants, we anticipate and we look at the patterns of behavior of the different businesses that we work with. And if we find that, we'll tell the owner, hey, look, you got to watch out, Save Mart, or, there's a lot of oversight now on meals and entertainment and what used to be an expense is not longer what the meals used to be on the road, 100%. Yeah. So, hey, I hear that we need to go on a break. So stay tuned. I hope you're having fun. We're talking about bookkeeping versus accounting here at Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine. We'll be right back. Having so much fun. I can't believe it. It's almost over. So Business and Legal Talk with Leo and Claudine, we are helping you scale profitably with a sustainable business. And this is what Claudine and I do. And today we're talking about something that is very near and dear to your heart, right, Claudine?
Yes.
Bookkeeping.
Bookkeeping. Thank God God made bookkeepers.
Right? But most people go to bookkeepers. They don't think about an accountant.
That's correct. And when you start working with an accountant, it changes everything. It changes the dynamic completely, because now you're looking forward to getting that information. You now collaborate with somebody about what that information means. And, even if that information is a little bit, maybe I don't want to say alarming, but perhaps alarming. And it's like, hey, we kind of really need to get our act together and, and get these sales in gear or whatever the case is. It is, it helps you sleep at night. It helps you understand your business. It helps you figure out that how do they do it? There's people that we know in every single industry, no matter who's listening, whatever industry you're in, there's somebody that you know who has been successful,
right?
Who has hit that place where you want to be. And you look at them and you think, how did they do that? What was their scenario? I mean, they started their business 20 years ago and they've got different workers' comp rates, or, they did this, or they had, and somehow you tell yourself that it is not duplicatable. And that's just not the case. You just haven't found the resources yet.
And it's so hard to find people you trust.
That's true.
Because this, it's, you know, when you don't know, like I love the phrase that you always use, we confuse people do nothing. And if you're walking away confused, you won't do anything.
You'll do nothing.
And you'll do nothing.
For years, I took the reports that were sent to me, my quarterly stuff from the bookkeepers, and I just put them in a file in my drawer. For years.
Well, you use them to light up the wood for it.
No, I never burned them. Nope, never burned them. Never burned them. You know, look at the bottom line and you go, okay, it's kind of like...
Am I happy or sad?
Checking the bank balance. Okay, looks like, you know, fine, I suppose. But, you know, until you start working with that right advisor, that person that can help you understand the things that you don't know, you don't know what you don't know, it completely revolutionizes your business. And somehow, sometimes people are really good with the numbers. So we may be talking to people who are thinking to themselves, oh yeah, I've got this handled. I love my numbers. I sit with them and I play with them and I, you know, massage them all the time. But
sounds like a real person.
Sometimes you look at it that way. But then the other half of it is what they don't understand, the nebulous side of the legal side. And the legal side is very nebulous. Nothing is scientific. Yep. Nothing is concrete. It's an art, not a science. And it's, you know, how well can you protect and argue it?
So let's keep going. I have a goal that for the next, 7 minutes. I'll see if I can get through 5 more items. And
good luck.
Number 5 is we're going to keep it clean and we're going to create a useful chart of accounts. You know, I'm just going to quickly read because I want to get to number 6, what you're going to love. Don't delete stuff. Okay, this is very important. So business owners that do their own bookkeeping.
Right.
And you can. You don't have to hire an outside. You don't have to outsource it. You could do it in-house. If you happen to have the time to do it, I think some people should do it just to even learn what it feels like. But I see some people entering an invoice in QuickBooks, say, and they delete that invoice and it loses the sequence. So all your invoices, QuickBooks, or your accounting software is trained to number each invoice uniquely. So it'll start with 1,000 and 101, 102, 103, 104,
100. Right.
There's a sequence. You can pull those reports. But what some people do, they make a mistake and they will delete an invoice. So it'll go 104, 105, 107.
Right.
109, 111. And then you're left to wonder, what if you actually deleted a real invoice?
Right.
And they make up another invoice. I know you're looking at, you don't do that. So, but business owners should just void it.
Okay.
When you void something, it leaves an imprint. It'll say that something was here.
Okay.
And then we don't lose the sequence. So it'll be 105 and then void it 106 and then 107. It's important information. So don't delete anything in your software. You don't have to worry about that. And anybody that we work with, we actually help them with that. We don't like deleting anything because you delete the history and the audit history. This is very important. And as important as you grow, I encourage business owners to understand they have a standard operating procedure for different departments, including their accounting department. It's very important as you grow to, in case somebody, like if you have somebody in your office doing the invoicing.
Right. No, I don't. I do it myself. But we're starting to cross.
But you're going
to
start.
Right.
And then you have, because what happens if you're unable?
Right.
That billing needs to get done by the end of the month.
Right.
You know, we say billing by the end of the month. And I'm obsessive about that because I've seen way too many business owners leave money on the table.
Right.
You know, and some of the money that is left on the table will outstand the average person. I had a company one time that they were doing an average $100,000. They thought they were doing $100,000 a month in billing. So that put you on track to do $1.2 million, except that they were living about $20,000 to $30,000 worth of unbilled stuff. And they did that for like 3 months in a row.
Unbilled.
Unbilled.
Were they like billing on the time or... Like invoices, selling products?
Okay, no.
Good Lord, I hope they weren't selling products.
So $100,000 worth of invoices, right? And then they thought they were done. There was no way to, for instance, you have your billing software, right? That you use, and you keep track of time, right?
Right.
So you know that if something doesn't jive with the accounting software, you know that you have a way to go back and compare. It's called acid testing the revenue.
Right.
They didn't. So if a customer, they just put it under a desk, and you put it on a desk, okay, there needs to be invoiced. There was no software. There is no way to track, to do project management. Today we're just all in their heads. So this customer is done. We need to invoice him for 20 grand. Yeah, wow. I know it's crazy, right?
You know, that brings to mind this similar situation that happens a lot in construction is job costing.
Job costing
is not going back and costing your jobs out and to see where did you land when you sent your estimate and you began the project. You thought, okay, it's going to take me, you know, $80 in material, and I'm going to, you know, bill $100 and show I should make 20, and that going back and double checking that happened.
You want to know the number one reason why construction companies fail?
They don't job cost.
They don't job cost, or they don't do it right.
Right.
And then the whole thing about WIP reporting, you know, the work in progress, It's super critically important. I think some industries should have an accountant from day one.
Right.
Because so imagine, I just told you about that example of a company that left $20,000 for 3 months. They left 60 grand on the table. And by chance, we started doing, there's something that didn't feel right because we were on the outside. We were not in the company. We were told, okay, bill this. But then we started asking questions, and then costs were being incurred on that ghostly invoice. Meaning that related to that $20,000 invoice, there were company was fronting costs.
Ooh.
Okay, not only do you leave $20,000 on the table, you spend money that you haven't built against, a recipe for disaster.
You know, and business owners make these without even thinking. We're just trying to take care of the customer. We're just trying to get the job done.
And you're doing yourself wrong, even if you think you're doing things right.
Right.
You gotta charge what you're worth, and you gotta charge it on time. And you should not apologize for having done a well job and asking for payment.
Right.
You shouldn't apologize. But a lot of business owners do apologize.
Yes.
Well, I feel badly about this invoice that I'm about to send you.
Yes.
Well, then you should have probably been in business.
Well, it's a difficult thing to do. A lot of people are just genuinely nice.
So number six, know your numbers. Now, this is to me the most important. For you, probably is you gotta know the financial status of your business at any point in time. You should be able to look at the quarter, the month, the last year, and compare those against each other. The year over year comparison, the key financial indicators of your business, whatever those may be. If you are a restaurant, that would be different than a construction company, that would be different than a software company. And for you, as you know, there are so key performance indicators that a law firm will have to understand the health of that. And you know those by heart. You know, we need to make sure that everything gets billed, that there is a ratio of hours billed against hours paid. There is a ratio of accounts receivable. There is a ratio even rent against sales. All those metrics that go, because when it there are times that you're going to need that information and you won't have it.
Right.
And you will be able to make decisions. So, you know, and you got to understand also the trends. So, for instance, say you're profitable. Wow, what a concept, right? You got into business. You actually started making money. But how do you know that that's what you should be making?